If you think about companies like Grail, where one blood draw can predict 50 cancers in people with no symptoms whatsoever. And we've got sensors in clothing, sensors in the home. So there's a lot of things going on in diagnostics that are really changing the size of these markets.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
My name is Andre Bates, and I am the CEO of Eularis, which is a firm that uses artificial intelligence and future tech to solve pharmaceutical company challenges. My talk today is Artificial Intelligence in Pharmaceuticals. Is this a perfect storm or a golden opportunity? Now, pharma around the world face numerous challenges. We have patent expiries and in many cases, not enough pipeline to fill the gap. We have a movement away from our traditional factors around safety and efficacy, which we still have, but there's more focus on real-world data, patient outcomes, and quality of life. We have price controls, such as paying for performance, and we have new job roles in emerging areas that sometimes can be difficult to fill. On top of that, we have internal constraints. A lot of the problems that we face and challenges require a depth of expertise across multiple domain areas. We have organizational complexity. We also have a very complex infrastructure that means that pharma companies are not as agile as startups, for example. And a lot of the solutions that are designed must involve a variety of functional, international, multidisciplinary teams. And often we see these have conflicting KPIs to measure their results. If we look at where things were and where things are going now, in the past, we had effective drugs that took years to develop. Now we have AI that can identify molecules and create new drugs in weeks. Clinical trials were trialed on humans, and we're already starting to see clinical trial drugs being trialed in silico on aspects of humans, digital twins. We had new medicines only competing against other pharma, but now we have tech companies like Google and Amazon developing drugs. We had medicines were manufactured very traditionally, but now they're coming equipped with chip sensors, cameras, and they can even be 3D printed like Spiritan was in 2015. The pill was sold alone, but now the pill comes wrapped in value-added services and an ecosystem. Big markets like cancer and diabetes were basically really propelling things forward, but now personalized diagnosis is likely to reduce some of these markets. And now we have personalized diagnostics that catch conditions and very early. So if you think about companies like Grail, where one blood draw can predict 50 cancers in people with no symptoms whatsoever. And we've got digital tattoos for monitoring. We've got sensors in clothing, sensors in the home. So there's a lot of things going on in diagnostics that are really changing the size of these markets. In the past, only drugs could treat conditions outside things like surgery. Now we've got digital therapeutics and nanobots, and we're moving way beyond the pill. And the model was selling pills, the blockbuster model. Is this still the best model? There's a whole heap of new models that are existing, subscription, ecosystem, that can actually be implemented alongside the pill for minimal disruption. But then on top of those, we have a new set of challenges. Our customer base is changing due to being trained by some of the big tech companies. People expect a much more personalized response. There's this hyper-personalization, but we still have our strict compliance laws. We are needing to serve the underserved. We have a very ecosystem-driven society, and we need to really be looking at designing for emerging risks. So there's a lot of things going on in our space. Does that mean that disruption is inevitable with all of this going on? Enter artificial intelligence. Some examples of use of artificial intelligence in pharma, and you can see it's right the way across the value chain, is discovery. We use it there in R&D, in manufacturing, clinical trials, market access, supply chain, regulatory, medical, sales and marketing. So you can see it's used in so many places, and I'll go into a little bit more depth in some of these places. If we think about it in drug discovery, AI can aggregate and synthesize information. It can understand or help us understand mechanisms of disease by analyzing hundreds, if not thousands, of omics databases, connecting published literature, experimental data, clinical data, and so on. It can generate data and models. It can repurpose existing drugs, can generate new drug candidates, can validate drug candidates, and it can actually design drugs. Just pulled out some real life examples in some cases in R&D where pharma have used AI. So if you think about this spectrum of target identification, target validation, hit identification, lead generation optimization, and preclinical, each of these have very impressive real life examples of things pharma companies and biotech companies have done when they've employed artificial intelligence to take over some of these processes. And this has reduced the time from years and months down to hours. So all of these, this is just one example here of each of these, but there are literally so many different ways that we're using it now. If you look at clinical trials, it can design preclinical experiments, run preclinical experiments, design clinical trials, recruit for clinical trials, optimize clinical trials, redact personally identifiable data, and write clinical study reports that are 90% complete within an hour when it would have taken about a team of about several people to do 6 weeks to do it. So I'm going to show you just a few case studies in clinical trials, medical affairs, market access, marketing and sales to give you a flavor of the types of things that AI is now doing in pharma. So this was a project where clinical study reports can take an internal team, you know, 2 months, for example, to write up. And every day that a drug delays getting on the market, it costs the team money. So implementing AI solutions that generate regulatory compliant clinical study reports that can be complete 80 to 90% in less than an hour is a very useful thing to do. This kind of AI reduces the internal resource utilization by around 250 hours and around $25,000 in team time. It's actually stopped the loss of around 9 million per day for 6 weeks, adding quite a lot of millions to the bottom line of a particular drug that it was used for. Medical affairs. I mean, the fastest growing body of content in both volume and complexity in life sciences is for medical affairs. You know, analyzing that content, clinical studies, publications, guidelines, and more for medical insights drives better decisions. But it takes a huge amount of human time to do all of this. Now, by using natural language processing intelligence to actually do the scanning and the summarization of what's needed, can actually increase productivity of the humans by 1,000% and decrease the literature monitoring time between 80 to 90%. So this is another area where AI is really powerful to use and save time. Value pricing. Now this is really, you know, value pricing is so important. And in the old days, it was humans doing the pricing and it would take up huge amounts of time. There's a lot of data to be covered. There's lots of scenarios to do, but actually today you can do this in 30 days with AI. This is going through over 650 different data sources, monitoring it and looking at the updates every day and putting it into algorithms, creating the scenarios and coming up with what is the optimal price point that will give you the most uptake and the most profit. So huge area of savings and profitability, because if you look at a lot of the drugs that have failed because of pricing, Zeltrap comes to mind, where they had major issues when they first launched because the price was wrong. Getting that price right can really be really critical in the success or failure of a drug. Market access, integrated performance analysis. One of the things that is needed in many different areas in pharma, but this is a market access example, is integrated performance analysis. So if you have, in this case, a small analytics team that have all these products that they are constantly answering questions on, having to do analysis on, and each, let's say, which is true in this case, each of those queries was between a few days to a week of analysis to get the answer. Now, if you're a small team, that's a huge amount, and the backlog is huge. So a lot of companies will then outsource to India to get their, have a team in India that are doing all these analyses. But that still takes humans a lot of time. It may be cheaper time, but it still takes time. But by implementing artificial intelligence with natural language processing and machine learning, you can actually put in real language, in natural language, your question as you would to a human. And the artificial intelligence will take 5 to 15 minutes to serve up the answer. And not only serve up the answer, but you can delve into the answer and you can have it visualized at the same time. So it's really C-suite ready in 5 to 15 minutes, whereas before it was taking weeks and a whole team to be churning these out, taking way longer. Patient identification. So this is something that we do more and more of, and particularly in rare disease, because as you know, it's very difficult to find patients with rare disease. For this particular case, it was a third line cancer product. Now, it was treated like a rare disease because most of the patients died at second line. So finding those third line patients was rare and difficult. And so this was really developing an approach using machine learning and natural language processing with patient record data to identify. First, we identified any third line patient, even if they were dead now, who had survived to third line with this type of cancer. Then we went back and looked at all of the patients that died at second line. And then we compared, well, we didn't, the AI compared, the third line alive with the second line dead to see what are the differences in these two patient groups that can predict from the patients that are currently in second line and alive, which of these will go on to third line and actually require this third line cancer drug. Now, we don't know who these patients are because all the data we get is anonymized. However, we do know who the doctor is. So we were able to then do a heat map of exactly which doctors were where, and the company could then deploy their sales force to the right doctors that had patients that would survive to third line. So those patients would get the drug that, and the doctors would know this drug existed for those patients that needed it to survive. So the results of this were really impressive. This drug was expected to be about $3 billion at peak sales, but they got there within the first year because of this targeted approach. So very powerful for that. Precision doctor targeting. I mean, what I just explained was precision doctor targeting, but this is just for your regular sales targets. So this was a client that did targeting on an annual basis on historical data. But they found the physicians weren't really providing the return that they hoped for. And there were numerous drugs in the portfolio, so they needed to ensure that the reps were seeing the highest value physicians. So with this one, we were able to use AI techniques to identify which physicians had the right patient population and weren't already tapped out. You know, they were sending reps to some doctors that already were prescribing 100% of that product for the patients they had. So this was looking at which physicians would be the ones that had patients coming in with this that weren't tapped out yet, and also who should be the priority physician to see based on the most recent dynamic data. And I'm talking about up to that day's data. So we could see when a patient was diagnosed with something, even though we didn't know who the patient was, I reiterate, but we knew which doctor it was, and we could update that information automatically to the sales rep. So they go to see the right one. And this one, they started to get 31% increase in sales in the first few months after the system was implemented, and it continued to grow. Another area where it's very useful for sales reps is personalized detailing. Now, there's lots of things you can do here. This is for a project we did in Japan many years ago now, but it was for a large older brand in decline. There were new brands and generic competition, and the sales reps felt they couldn't compete anymore. So by combining all the data available and looking at temporal sequencing as well, we used AI techniques to firstly identify if a physician who was a high prescriber of your drug was likely to switch to a competitor. We were able to personalize the sales message by doctor and by visit. So different messages would be required on different visits, depending on the dynamic activity of the doctor. And we could also do custom detail aids for that doctor. So by basically knowing what's the right message for that doctor at that point in time, and knowing what is on each page of the detail aid, the AI could pull up the detail aid pages in the right sequence that are most appropriate for that doctor at that point in time. And this one was very successful. We did a pilot first and got 43% increase in sales in the reps who were using the system compared to the reps that weren't. Then they rolled it out and integrated it with their CRM system and increased their sales by 937 million. So by really personalizing this and with the temporal sequencing, doing it at the right time, so you've got the right message, right place, right time. Now, we've taken that a lot further now. You can actually integrate this with virtual details, with emails, with HCP portals, webcasts, literature, and you can automate it so that the doctor is receiving the right ratio of the different channels and the right content in each channel at the right time. So Dr. X may see a sales rep once every 2 months, but he has all these other things that are impacting him more, whereas another doctor may need, you know, to see a rep every month. So it's very personalized. So there's three main pillars here for sustainable pharma growth in the new world. One is solving these kind of challenges that I've just shown you. There's lots of individual business challenges that pharma have that they need to solve pretty quickly and pretty efficiently. I have to say that the first thing you really need to do here is to create an AI roadmap that aligns with your strategic goals and your unmet needs, because this will provide you with a solid foundation rather than just doing ad hoc work. But secondly, there's a lot of challenges pharma realize they have, but it gets put on the back burner because they don't realize AI can actually solve it. So that is one thing that really needs to be done. The second one is a lot of companies, they will experiment with AI and they'll get the elements in place, but then they have trouble scaling it. So finding a way to really get in and scale that is also really important. And then the third area that I'm quite passionate about is that the world is changing quite a lot, but we're still doing a lot of things the same way as we used to. Now, leading companies have realized that they can't just keep doing things the same way they did. And so they need to look at a multitude of areas. You know, they need to look at the shifting patterns, changing business models, perhaps, to remain resilient, irrespective of market conditions. So how to begin and succeed with AI? Leveraging AI is no longer a nice to have in pharma. It's core to business success and especially to future-proofing. Leveraging AI cannot be haphazard, as that leads to expensive failures. And it must be strategy-driven with a clear line of sight to your corporate strategy. So the way I see it is we need to optimize all of our core processes. As I showed you, all those examples were really using AI to optimize our core processes. But then I also believe we need to be looking adjacent to where we are now and expand the business into adjacent markets and adjacent customers. And then we need to be thinking about transformation and really developing breakthroughs in completely new ways. And I'm not talking about medical breakthroughs because we're already doing that. I'm talking about remodeling and re-engineering the business. So what is it? Have we got a perfect storm of disruption right now? Or do we have a golden opportunity? I would say we have both. We are heading into a perfect storm, but we have a golden opportunity to really steer the ship out of the storm using artificial intelligence.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.